With the grand final on in Melbourne this week, it got us thinking about our final working years and some financial strategies that can help you get towards your retirement. Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. It's Pete Pennicott here, joined by my co-host, as always, Zach Masters.
Hey Pete, how are you?
Feeling good. Obviously mourning the passing of the Queen. We've got a
Up last night to watch the funeral? Or?
No, I didn't. Young kids in bed early. we've got a very, very short week. So
I know. And
for those of you...
Public holidays coming out.
Is it Victoria-wide, the public holiday? The Thursday, Friday. Yeah. So regional Victoria gets the grand final day parade as well.
Yeah.
Half our luck.
I know. I think I heard that Perth's got... I think they've got the Queen, the memorial public holiday on Thursday and then Queen's birthday on the Monday. So, go figure.
Oh, well, hopefully people can make the most of it and sort of more time with family, friends, getting out there, enjoying life.
That's it. Will you be down at the grand final parade on Friday?
I'll not be.
Why not?
I have very little interest in the two clubs playing, so...
Still, Buddy.
Yeah. Come out with he's trying to steal the Queen's thunder this week, announcing he's coming back for one more day, one more hour, one more year. We don't know. But with the grand final in mind, we thought it might be, having a bit of a chat about the big dance for most people, which is retirement. It means different things to different people, but it is one of those things that, you do work really, really hard and sort of work towards this goal that's not easily defined. It's one of the biggest challenges that we help clients navigate on a day-to-day basis. So I thought, with that in mind, how do you prepare for the big dance?
Well, that's a lot of people work. When you talk to a lot of people are working for this moment. It's the same thing with the footy, isn't it? I guess draw a long bow. A lot of people are not necessarily working for this moment, but they look forward to the moment where they have the financial freedom to be able to pull the pin if they wanted to.
Yeah, and I think it is. Hopefully all the listeners out there are doing things they're passionate about and they love doing and couldn't even imagine retirement because they're just sort of so enthralled with what they're doing. Yeah. But for the vast majority, there is an end point where you go, hang on, I want to sit back and smell the roses. So I guess what would you have? We might run through some quick fire tips about in the lead up. So what you'd hope is you're not leaving it till the last minute. You're not sort of coming in pre-lim week. Yep. Just sort of coming in cold, haven't done any training.
Had no training.
But what it is sort of how do you prepare it for a finals campaign? So let's call it, 3 to 5 years out from retirement. What should you be thinking about? What would be your number one tip?
Yeah, so I think the first one, number one, you've got to work out, get your head around your expenses or what you want that stage of your life to look like. So you can't really plan without any numbers or any idea of what it's going to look like. So this is obviously one of the hardest things, and a lot of the time people are unsure of what this is. So often you need to kind of not budget necessarily, but look at what your outgoings are. So what are your minimums that you needed to fund your lifestyle as they are at the moment? But then also look at what do you want to be doing in that retirement stage. So will you be spending more than you are currently? Will you be spending less? You're going to have potentially more spare time, so maybe your expenses do go up. Are there holidays that you're going to want to do? How often do you need a new car? What's your housing situation look like? All of these types of things you need to have a think about, because working out that number of how much do you need each year on average is kind of the key to unlocking whether or not you've got enough and whether or not you'll be able to hit that. How do you go about working out the expenses side of things with clients?
Old-fashioned budget.
Budget.
Budget is
Excel spreadsheet or
doesn't really matter. So pen and paper, Excel spreadsheet, digital tools, they're all good. The main thing is just get it down. So and be real about it. And probably, I guess, leveraging off your top tip, it is, I'd say, design what your ideal retirement life looks like.
Yeah, don't read the ASFA studies or the...
Well, they're just numbers.
They're useful, but I guess, because I saw one of my clients today, they were talking about the ASFA. I thought, I should have looked at that before. I was like, but it's not necessarily relevant to you. It's about how much you need and what you want, not necessarily what is, in inverted quotation marks, comfortable for the average Australian or whatnot. It should be tailored to what suits you.
Yeah, and I think don't just center in on money and the dollars.
Yeah.
I think it is going, what's going to excite me to get out of bed? Because it's a substantial shift in your day-to-day routine. And for some people, it's a pretty confronting transition and not a successful one. It's that thing of, you know, you've had an identity, you've had a career, you've had a structure to get out of bed and go, I need to be here at these times. And I think we've all had that turned upside down in the past few years as it is, but at least you've still, you had to get on the Zoom call in your pajama pants at a certain time or get in front of your computer.
Yeah.
But I think that is the thing of going, what am I going to do? Because what some people find is it's a bit taxing on a mental health perspective. So the people that have done it really well and the ones that I look at and go, that looks like such an amazing, happy and fulfilling retirement are the ones that had thought through going, what is it going to look like? Some of them it's grandchildren, it's children, they're sort of spending time with family. Other ones they're caravanning around and sort of largely seeing Australia at the moment. They've sort of been a little bit sort of
hesitant
to do global travel. Other ones have hobbies. So those are the sort of things I'd start to think about and go, what does that look like and feel like? And then you can sort of add the numbers on the back of it. I'd start with that other point before the budget, though, sometimes the budget can almost cloud your creative thinking. And you really need to go, with time, what in a perfect world does it look like? And it may not be feasible once you peg it back, but you go, okay, that'll help set the yardstick of going, am I on track for it? What are we going to do?
Make the decisions of like, do I work an extra year or whatever? And does that help me then get towards this certain lifestyle? Or if you are on the brink of potentially being able to fund it, all those types of decisions then you can make instead of just pulling the pin and going, oh, now I need to work out what the hell I do now.
But it might even change the way you do retirement. So retirement is just a term that probably it's probably in the dictionary or something. I didn't prepare that. But it might be that you go, I actually do enjoy a bit of structure. So I'm going to find something. I'm not going to do it for the financial benefit, but I'm going to do something 2 days, 3 days a week that I'm passionate about. And that's part of my retirement plan. So it's just, that might be something that works well and sort of a little bit different. So that'd be my one. So what's your next tip that you've got for
my next
listeners
tip
out there?
Yeah, so I think it's looking at your super contributions. So taking a look at what super contributions you can make and trying to work out what flexibility you've got and what room you've got to play with in terms of those super contributions. So especially at the moment with the potentially use of catch-up concessional contributions, you might want to leave any of those on the table in your final working years. So looking at those to maximize the amount that you can get into super, because usually at around this time, so I'll say usually, it depends on what age you are. You might be retiring earlier than when you can access super, but usually you're close to when you'll be able to access super. So super becomes one of your best friends in retirement due to the tax nature of it. So look at what super contributions you have and then looking to maximize those in whatever way you can.
You just caused a chunk of people in the FIRE movement community to just switch off. Nuts. They're out, they're off.
Yeah, so if you're in your 40s, maybe you can rethink that particular one a little bit. As you get closer towards there, and if you are close towards the age in which you can access it, then it becomes really quite beneficial to try and get as much funds in there as possible. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, and there's different types of super contributions, but I think understanding that retirement funding is not just superannuation, I think,
is the critical point. Yeah.
And super is just a tax structure. And it's a really good one. So until you sort of reach that balance transfer cap of $1.7 million per person, it's probably going to be the best one. Yeah, and it's going to be different for everyone. So there's no blanket rule yes or no, because there might be estate planning considerations. There might be a host of other things. But generally speaking, it's really good. And then what you might do is go, of all my liquid assets, you know, when do I move them? How do I move them? How do I manage tax? So you might have built a share portfolio, an investment property portfolio. So I think super contributions can be used in conjunction with that to go, hey, look, I'm going to start to shift these in, so sell these down, get a tax benefit by doing deductible contributions, you know, if you're lucky enough to be in a relationship and you've got a spouse and there's differences in your balances, look at the opportunities there. Like, you know, is there, does one of you have the ability to make catch up concessional contributions?
Yeah, because you don't want to leave, you know, potentially contributions on the table that you could have made, and you're paying tax that you don't necessarily need to, and you're close to accessing it as well.
Yeah. And I think, look, it's all, you just got to go, what's my set of financial circumstances? What's the best outcome for me here? And the longer you have to plan for it, the better. So yeah, I'd definitely be, you know, pretty keen to get as much in there as what you can for most people.
Yep.
But don't just blindly put money into super either, because you might actually put you in a worse position. So you got to remember, if you're in accumulation phase, you're still paying 15% earnings tax.
Yeah.
If you've got a non-working spouse, that actually may be worse. But
yeah, having the assets in there.
Also, year one is not the be-all and end-all, so you got to think through and go, long-term, is this the best outcome? So
yep.
I think, yeah, that'd be a pretty critical one.
That's it. What have you got for us next?
So I would understand, like, start to lay your assets. So start to build and construct your investment portfolio. And by this, I mean your whole investment portfolio, both inside and outside of super. And go, okay, I've designed my awesome retirement. It's fantastic. This is great. I'm very excited about it. I've budgeted for it. I know what I need. I know what capital sum will spit this amount of money out.
Mm-hmm.
So then you start to go, how do I make the right amount of money drop in at the right time? So I need X amount of dollars per month, per quarter, per year. How do I structure my portfolio so it's less strain on me to make decisions to sell down assets that I don't necessarily want to sell down, because timing's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're retiring this year, it's pretty challenging. So you've got sort of defensive assets down double digits in terms of global bond markets. You've got equity markets down, some of them over 20%. So you want to have made decisions to have structured your portfolio more robustly before that. And I'd almost think of it like layers, where you go, this is the money that I've got set aside with no capital risk, highly liquid, that's available for the next 6 to 12 months. And that covers everything that I need.
Is that the bucketing strategy that you hear a lot of people talk about in a similar way?
You can call it a bucket strategy or call it a layering strategy. You know, whatever, you can give it whatever fancy label you want. Yeah. So for listeners out there, it'll be a layering strategy for the purpose of today's thing. But yeah, it could be a bucket. But in that bucket or layer, you might have another layer above that of going, hey, this is my short-term defensive. So these are relatively defensive assets. They still might be exposed to some volatility, but have more upside. And start to layer it like that of going, this is my 1 year money, this is my 2 to 3, this is my 4 to 5, this is my 5 year plus, and this is my 10 year plus money. And that way you start to go, okay, you can build a portfolio that might have the benefits of, you might be able to hold unlisted assets like an investment property in there, because that's your 10 year plus horizon.
Yeah.
But that might smooth out returns, give you some income, but also, you know, not the same volatility. Whereas if you have something listed in the share market, you're going to see that fluctuate on a daily basis. So I think that would help you understand and going, yep. And then you look at your tax strategy with that as well. So going, what's the right tax bucket for that to sit in? Is it personal? Is it joint? Is it in a trust? Is it in super?
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty important. And understanding how you might be feeling a little bit different. So you might need to put this strategy in place early and test it and go, all right, if I had a GFC style event, how would I be managing that? And that's a pretty bad one, because it was quite a significant drop off, but also a prolonged recovery. So you'd almost try and go, how do I build a portfolio that's going to set me in good stead if that's the first 5 years of my retirement?
Yeah.
Because what you don't want to do is go, just because of what's happening in the global economy, I've had to change my retirement plans. So you'd like to think, doesn't matter what gets thrown at me. Yes, I'd be happier if the market's going up in my first 5 years, but it's not going to force me to not retire, because you've already set those investment strategies in play.
Yeah, especially for, as you mentioned, for people going through retirement or just started retirement in these years, you realize how important that is.
Yeah, and it's going to happen all the time. Like, there's going to be shitty investment markets several times, and economic cycles are happening quicker and quicker and quicker.
Yep.
There's a lot of reasons why that's happening. So
you're going to be retired for longer and longer?
Well, maybe. Like, yeah, that's probably the other thing. That was sort of, you've got to my next. I won't sort of jump there. But yeah, you might be retired longer. You might not be. But yeah, that is a consideration as well. So you do need to start thinking about it. And then you're building a portfolio that's going to stand the test of time. So you don't want to be trading in retirement, unless that's your retirement hobby.
Yeah.
A caution against that. But if that's something you're passionate about, awesome. But otherwise, simplify. Build a portfolio that's going to be robust. Get a good investment team or advice team around you that's going to provide you support, because hopefully you're doing some other stuff.
Yeah.
It's not what you want to be spending your time with. And if you don't want to have an advice team or have someone to support you, maybe consider something that's just plug and play, like an index fund or something like that.
Yeah, very good. The next one I've got is around estate planning. So making sure that your estate planning's sorted. So usually a lot of the time when people get towards retirement, maybe they haven't looked at their estate planning in quite a while. So a lot of the time when you have kids is normally something that spurs you on to start to think about your estate planning and get guardianship and things like that done. But it probably needs to be reviewed as you enter this next stage. So you might have children that have become adult children. You might have people listed as your beneficiaries that are no longer around if you haven't reviewed in a long time. Superannuation nominations as well, getting that sorted. Having a look at, you know, obviously who is the best beneficiary to nominate for super if you've still got, you know, one adult non-dependent child, one child that is dependent on you. These types of things that you should be potentially looking at, and then getting that estate planning reviewed, so executor, powers of attorney, things like that, so that then you don't have to be worried about that at a later stage. Is this something that you look at, Pete, for clients as they're entering there, or what's your thoughts on estate planning?
Yeah, I wouldn't have put it in my preparing for retirement. It's a bit of a somber view, but that's all right. So,
you don't have to worry about it.
I
later
just say
on.
It's a constant.
Yeah,
estate is planning a is a constant, but yeah,
but it I is a common one to that people just let go by the wayside.
Yeah, you think about your mortality, I guess, when you start to get to your it's a different life stage.
Yeah,
it's any life event. Yes, I agree with you. I'm sort of being a bit facetious that estate planning, but yeah, I think that for anyone out there, just always be reviewing it. Anytime you've got a life event or sort of something changes in your world, yeah, just lift up the hood. Is this still current? Is it still the right people? And then play on.
Yeah, that's it. Have you got a final tip for us?
Final tip? I've got several.
Oh, you got several? Nah, pick up. Nah, far and away.
No. I think probably the other one is, yeah, we were talking about how long are you going to be in retirement.
Mm.
So I think be realistic. You're going to know your health and sort of longevity based on your genes, based on a host of other factors, the way you've lived life. Some of us have lived it harder than others. No, I'm not looking at anyone in the room here. But so with that in mind, you're going, that's the other thing to plan for. It's not just like, what are you going to spend? It's like, how long are you going to spend it for?
Well, we often say in financial plan, if you know the day that you're going to pass away, it makes the job a lot easier in terms of
we're not suggesting people go and plan their date of expiry.
Yeah.
But I think if you are like in really good health, you've got demonstrated your family's got a good history of living, it doesn't mean no certainty that you're going to live a long life, but it does mean you probably need to
in all
plan.
Likelihood you're
you probably
you can't be just doing the life expectancy.
It's all just probability, so you got to go, okay, well, that's it. And you go, well, and the parents and people around you might be a reasonable yardstick of going, hey, how active were they for this period? What do I want to do? Like, that's part of the thinking. But also, if you're in quite poor health, you might look at it very differently to go, okay, well, I don't necessarily need to plan for more. So you might sort of front end and sort of bring things forward and going, because what you don't want to do is leave living and lifestyle on the table because you've just saved for days that may never come. So I think sometimes people, I guess, defer too much, and maybe while they're at their peak ability to enjoy life are not doing it because they're sort of planning for age 100. Whereas realistically, what we find with most, and I say most, like these are generalizations.
Yeah.
Your first 10 years, especially your first 5 years, are probably your most aggressive spending years in retirement because
active.
You've got time on your hands, you can do stuff.
Yeah.
You're finding your way, you're looking around the house, there's stuff to do.
Renovations to the house and things like that a little sometimes.
So I think with that in mind, you start to sort of map that out and go, okay, it's my spending pattern as well. It's not just a flat line. It doesn't always sort of, or it doesn't generally follow that way. It's generally front-ended where it's more. And then you've seen the places you want to go. You're probably going, oh, do I want to do another big trip when I'm in my 80s?
Mm.
Well, maybe, maybe not. So these are the sort of things you start to sort of hold a mirror up to yourself and go, okay, realistically, what does this look like?
Yeah.
Health is a big determinant, like life expectancy. So use that as your base case and then go, there's a few online calculators as well that you can do with your biometric age, is that what they call it? So you can sort of get a guide for going, oh, these are the habits that I have. How does that translate into plus or minus life expectancy as well?
Yeah.
And it's just something, you be real with yourself. So if you're in really poor health, well, you might look at your spending pattern a lot differently. So
yeah. Yeah, and you know that, and you don't want to, you can't take it with you necessarily. So it's all about...
you could take it like a Bitcoin sort of thing with you, yeah, I imagine. Okay. So,
Is there any other tips that you'd like to add in before we wrap up today's episode?
Yeah, I think like the place you live is pretty important. So understanding how you want to sort of live in terms of a home, like your sort of accommodation is pretty important, because that's generally a pretty big asset. And the reason why that one needs to be thought about is because when you sell it down, what do you do with it?
Yeah.
So there's options there for downsizer contributions, but it's also, you might just use it as your standard non-concessional contributions or concessional.
Yeah.
But that's often one that sometimes that decision's forced upon you. So the more you can think about and go, is this family home that I've brought up my family or I've been in for years, is this still appropriate? So I look at some of the places I've lived in, and some of them had like four flights of stairs that were seemed fun at the time.
So my parents are going through it. They've got a bit of acreage, so they're going like, they can't have this forever and a day. Like they're starting to plan to go, okay, like what's going to happen in 10, 15 years? Like what do we need to think about?
Yeah, and you might budget and go, oh, cool, no, I enjoy it. I'll pay a gardener to do it.
Yeah.
And you go, I like the feel of it. Or you might go, hang on, this just doesn't make any sense anymore. Like I don't derive that much enjoyment from it. So I might downsize. And downsize just might mean in shape and style and maintenance.
Not necessarily dollar value.
Not necessarily dollar value.
Yeah.
But that's another one of going, I think that's a big critical part. And I don't know if you've sort of planned for aged care, because that's sort of, if you're entering retirement, I don't know if this is the time to be thinking about that, but it's more like that next home, because often the home you enter into, you're retirement with is not the one you finish retirement with, even taking into account aged care as well as another sort of path that you might go down at some point. So I would really think about that, because it might unlock something for you. It might change the way you think about your lifestyle, because often a home can be a really good source of certainty and peace of mind. Might also be an anchor for you if you're more of a free spirit and you want
to
be
traveling. Back to those hobbies, like what do you want to do? Is that the place you're living conducive to doing all those things that you're passionate about and that you want to do or not as well?
Yeah. And then probably the last one before we wrap up we'll give our grand final to himself for this, and Norm Smith, I think. If you're part of a couple, have a chat to your spouse about it. So this should be a joint decision. Mm. So you've got to be thinking about your life together. But they're also, if you're not in haven't got a significant other, have a chat to other people in your life, because there might be people who have done it before you. So seek some guidance on them and like what's worked well. I'm sure most people are really happy to share these, the warts and all. But is that like, get a feel for like the people around you, because they're going to be the people you're going to be spending time with.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the other one of, splash out on a financial date night if you're part of a combo.
That's it. Do some goal setting. Talk about what retirement looks like.
Yeah, look, the Victorian government's got, do it midweek. You got
cashback offer.
Cashback offer. So get out there and enjoy it. Support local businesses. But yeah, that's about it. So who have you got for the grand final this week?
Oh, I can't stand Geelong, so it has to be Sydney. Yeah. Sydney by 4 points.
Norm Smith for you.
I'll go Callum Mills.
Okay.
In the back line. What about you?
I'll also jump on the Sydney bandwagon, more so just because Geelong's caused so much pain to Hawthorn over the years. And I would be thinking it's going to be Lance Franklin.
Buddy. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Sure he's not too sore after last week. Nah,
I think he might sort of kick a bag. So.
Yeah.
And I don't really know many players on their team, so that's one that stands out. So otherwise, Papley might be the other one.
That's
so.
It. Little pumps.
But we might wrap it up there. That was a good session. So if you've got any questions or want to have a chat about your retirement plans, definitely feel free to reach out to either of us or the team at Picada at connect@picada.com.au. And we'll see you all back here next week and enjoy the long weekend.
Yeah.